We'll read a number of scriptures as the beginning of our discussion today. Let's conclude what we have been talking about, how to witness for Christ Jesus, still part of our faith basic series. If you know, for some time we have been speaking about the issue of witnessing for Christ. Let's just read the scripture that we have been using as our text, the book of Luke chapter 24. Let's just start with that, the book of Luke chapter 24. Now this story is about when Jesus visited showed himself to his disciples. In verse 44, this was after he had eaten with them. He said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, that is the things that they witnessed, all right, were recorded in the Bible. That is the testament that he had, the laws and the prophets, all right, and the Psalms. And he said to them, "Thus it is written," that is from the scriptures, "that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." That is, what he did was to get, now, please, this was not the only thing he said. He brought out many scriptures and explained it to them. The summary of it is that the things I have shown to you are those things that were written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And he said, "You are witnesses that the things that were recorded by the prophets were actually fulfilled in my life. You are witnesses that I was anointed by the Holy Ghost. You are witnesses that I was a lamb that was sinless, stainless, but yet was sacrificed for the sins of the people." He said, "Because of that, you are going to go ahead and bear witness to these things before the people." That is, it's not just scriptures, but that now you are living witnesses of the fact that what the scriptures recorded were fulfilled. Are you getting my point? That is, they are not just preachers, they are first of all what? Witnesses. Let me just say this to us again. God is not calling us first of all to be preachers. He's calling us to be what? Witnesses. A witness witnessed something. I don't want to preach that all over again. That's what we have been talking about. My emphasis in this teaching is not that every Christian must go and preach the gospel. That is true. These emphases have been laid here and there. But what I'm emphasizing is the fact that it's not just to preach, but it's to be what? A witness. Who is a witness? A witness is somebody who has something to say about the matter. A witness is not that who just repeating what he hears somebody else say. That's why I say all the time that when you are going out to, if you are going to witness, all right, for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must speak that which you are persuaded concerning. Do you understand my point? If the only thing you have to say is that I was a sinner, now I have been delivered. I remember one brother, all right, somebody introduced him to this ministry some years ago, and he was vibrant as a believer, that is going around preaching. And his reason was simple, because of what he used to be, all right? He was a real bad boy, you understand my point? A cultist and everything. Yet, the Holy Spirit convicted him, all right? And so the testimony he has is that this is what I used to be, and this is what I am right now. There's one brother I knew, does this in church. When this guy, if he's the one leading praise, you know, stuff like that, you've not seen that kind of joy and happiness before, with which a man would be dancing and praising the Lord. So one day, I remember, I think he came around, and you know the way people in church just go around to go and give offering. So, singing praises and all of that. So this guy, when he's going to give offering, the way he, all the dances of everybody put together is what is in his own. Only he would dance half of the dances in the church for that offering period. That is, and it's not just a matter of dancing. You see this guy is happy, he's joyful, He's just happy. This is not about, you know, some people go to church just to go and bubble and shuffle. That they didn't go there. You know, there are churches that the reason why people go is just because this is a bubbling center. You get my point? So we are going to dance. That's not what I'm talking about. This guy used to dance from the bottom of his heart. You know, the David style. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. That song is very inspired, but most people don't even know what it means. Do you understand my point? If somebody has to tell you to dance, you're not dancing like David danced. David danced because there was a reason in him to dance. You get my point? That's how this brother used to dance. So this particular day, I still remember his face that day. He went forward, you know. I was really dancing and smiling. I was happy. So one brother sitting beside me said, "Look at that guy. I said, yeah, what about him? So you see the way he's dancing and happy? He said, he's not just dancing because he's in church. He said, if you know where God brought him from to where he is today, you will understand. He said, ever since this guy gave his life to Christ, he has been this joyful. That he's always happy. Are you getting my point? See, he doesn't have to come and tell you that, do you believe that Isaiah said the Messiah should die? That's only for Jews. You can't tell a Gentile that. Because a Gentile doesn't know who Isaiah is. Are you getting my point? He doesn't know who Isaiah is. So he said the Messiah is there. Who's the Messiah? Why should he die? For the sins of the world. One person for the sin of the world. You have a big lesson in theology to teach. This just by the way to help some of us who might be interested. If you go and read the scripture, you see that Paul used to go around, you know, debating with people. Go and check it. Only used to do those debates with Jews. They were the ones who understood Isaiah. They were the ones who you could quote Jeremiah and he was an authority. You could quote Daniel for a Jew and he was an authority. You could say Moses said and a Jew will keep quiet and listen to you. But you go to Rome and say Moses said. Even if Caesar said, they will still argue. How much more Moses? You're following what I said? Let me not go over that again. We've been teaching this in for the last few weeks, all right? The point I'm just making from there is that a witness, like that young man telling you about, he will come and tell a story of his life. That's all God is asking him to do. He's not asking him to quote Isaiah. Isaiah is for those who have believed Isaiah. You can quote Isaiah for me, have been converted into believing that Isaiah knew what he was saying. How do I know? Because Jesus used to quote Isaiah. So, from the words of Jesus, I know that Isaiah was a prophet. From the words of Jesus, I know that Moses was a prophet. From the life of Jesus Christ, I can believe Malachi. I can believe Zephaniah. Because Jesus said, believe them. Do you get my point? But until I reach that level, alright, of taking these people as authorities, as prophets, you cannot witness to me using their words. You can witness to me with my problems. You can witness to me with your experiences. Your personal experiences. Let me summarize it again. To be a witness, all right, means that I have become one that have discovered the Lord for myself, all right, and I'm walking with him. And my witness is a result of my walk with him. If I don't have an experience walking with the Lord, I can't preach to anybody. That's what we are saying. You know, along the line, I also explained the issue of properly representing him. You cannot, like last time, let me just summarize what we said last time, all right? The issue of the spirit of the age. A lot of Christians who claim they are preaching the gospel, they are preaching this in out of habit. Meanwhile, they are drinking of the spirit of the age. Yeah, they want to tell people who are under the influence of the spirit of this age, all right, to believe something. To believe what? What I said last time is this. When I was talking about the matter of spirit, don't ever forget that. That's one thing I want to just end with. All right, let me just summarize it again, and then we'll go into what I want to say today. It's very vital as a believer that you are delivered from the power of the spirit of this age. The God of this world must not be your God. Please, that thing is very important. Let me give you as an example, this money matter. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. If you don't believe that, don't preach the gospel of Christ. Do you get my point? It is crucial. A man's life, that's what Jesus said, does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. What he was saying is that my disciples listen to this. The spirit of this age, he said, these are the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. If those things are controlling you, you cannot properly... Let me say this, all right? It's very important. If those things are still controlling you, I was saying, you cannot effectively represent Jesus because you are supposed to be attracting people towards him through you. No, that's the way it works. I said that your life is the address of God's residence. God is always the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that is, he's described by the lives of people. Are you getting my point? So if you want to represent him properly, the spirit of this age must not have control over your life. In fact, I think it's a good point. Let me just read the scripture, and then we'll continue from there. I'll mix what I was trying to review now with what I have to say for today. Quickly open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. That's what I want to start with today. Maybe I should title my message today, The Power of the Spirit. But let me say this, and we'll go into that issue of the power of the Spirit. So I say to Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by your power or by your own might, but by what? My Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, where I'm going to is verse 15, but as usual, let me just read a few verses beforehand. Alright, it said, now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. Verse 14, he says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Notice that he manifests through the creation. Amen? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? No. He said he manifests through what? Through whom? Answer now if you are there. Are you falling asleep? He manifests through whom? Thank you. All right, it's very important. I know I'm not alone here. He said he manifests through us. Through us. Whatever he wants to express is through us. He manifests through the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. From verse 15, he says, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who was adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. This is summary of my message for today. All right? Let me just read one more, then I'll say what I was saying, then we'll get into today's teaching. Quickly again, we've read this before, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, quickly open to that. Now, this also happened here. The people were being divided. Like Paul said to them, some of you say, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos. He said in verse 5, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. Listen to that. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. That is, opportunity to serve and opportunity to believe. That is, God gave Apollos the opportunity, he did something. And God gave Paul an opportunity, he manifested something. Then God by himself now did the work. So Paul summarized it in verse 6. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was the one causing the growth. I like the way King James says it there. Very beautiful. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. My Bible says God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, or God who gives the increase. Now, let me just stop there, all right? Now, let's go back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that we're reading. I was saying something earlier, which is why I quickly opened to this 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that we are supposed to attract people to Christianity. Are you getting my point? That's the primary thing about it. We are supposed to represent Christ so much that people will see him in us and they will be attracted. That's the main thing that we are supposed to do. I said all the time, this is what grace is. Grace means that God gives me something to do. I do that, and because, listen to that, because I have done what he said I should do, he's able to do that which I'm not able to do. Grace is that which God is able to do, beyond that which I can ever do, but he's only able to do it after I have done that little one he gave me to do. That's what life is about. As Christians, we are not here to struggle to get results. We are here to do things that God commanded as his work for us. Then having done that, he now does that which is far beyond our ability. Then Paul now said, by the grace, that is the manifestation of the power of God, I am what I am. What am I saying? Now we have gathered, we have read several verses of the words of Paul. Paul never planted a plant that should be like this. You know that? He never did. He didn't have the capacity to imagine this will happen. God didn't give it to him. I'm not aware he did. But Paul wrote the letter. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Paul wrote the letter, and that's it. Now that thy servant can depart in peace, that my hands have written the letter of the Lord. Do you understand my point? Then God preserved these letters. Many things were written at the same time that Paul wrote. We don't have them today. All kinds of human beings were writing all kinds of things. We don't have them today. But Paul wrote his letters. In fact, I read a theology and argued that it's not possible, that it is unthinkable that any letter of Paul is missing. That's how much power that God packed into it. Now, I'm not arguing the theology of it now, but there was a letter that Paul referred to that people should read. And it appears like amongst the ones that we have now. So the man was arguing that is this particular letter, maybe the one to the Ephesians or the Philippians, that he's referring to, which he had instructed them to copy the other churches. He said it is unthinkable that any of Paul's letters is missing. That is for him. You are telling me the revelation of God got missing. Are you following my point? That's the amount of power that God packed into that ministry. But the Paul engineered that, no. When he was writing these letters, he was not writing scriptures. I hope you understand that. He was just writing to his friends. Are you getting my point? He was just writing to the churches he founded. He was writing to his disciples in the Lord. That's all. But God packaged it so much that now we use it to argue the laws of nations. We use those things to argue, all right, how to do things in societies. We order our lives according to them. I'm trying to explain to us again the power of grace. But all Paul needed to do was go preach, write a letter, then die in peace. I will do the rest. So that's what grace is. So what God has commanded us to do in life is simple. I have given you little instructions. Follow them. Then the rest I will be the one to do. We're talking about witnessing for Christ, all right? Now listen to this. You can never, listen to me, nobody can persuade anybody to believe. It's not possible. Do you hear what I said? No human being. You can't harass people into believing. I'm going somewhere. You can't. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? Your job, all right? If I used to say something jokingly then, all right? When I see men chasing women, I say, you don't know how, look, you young men, be listening to me. I hope you are listening to me. I hope you listen to me when I say these things. In fact, one day, one brother said, Pastor, when are you going to write these things in your book? I said, don't worry, you go and write it. My name is not Don Odunze, amen? All right, there are people who have that ministry. I really don't have it. But this point I'm making, all right? I just used to say jokingly, but as a matter of fact, all right? But I say it in lighter moods. I say you can never, as a man, persuade a woman to marry you. It's not possible. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Either she likes you, or she doesn't like you. The things you are doing to make her like you, I'm talking about Christianity, I'm not talking about people outside, amen? The things you are doing to make her like you are the very things that are turning her off, but you don't know. Anytime you are coming, you go and dress properly and spray perfume. Once you enter, I say, hey, this is perfume. It gives me nausea. you don't realize it. But this is what I'm making, all right? You can't. So I tell young men, and that's what I did. And I told my wife while I was doing it to her. I said, you know, I can never persuade you to marry me. It's not possible. My job is to present myself honestly, simply, sincerely, and then you is your responsibility to decide whether you like it or you don't. I can't. It's not possible for me to persuade you. And you know, I've told you before, if you are a real disciple of Kingdom World Ministries, you hear the word of God I preach, you must never use the word please when you're asking a woman to marry you. It's against the will of God. Do you hear what I said? Please is not allowed. I hope you're hearing me. Please is not allowed. I hope you hear what I said. Please must never come from your mouth. May your teeth change angle if it does. It's going to be please. I told my wife then, I said, listen, I like you, believe me. I want you to marry me with all my heart. But I know one thing for sure. If you don't like me, there's nothing I can do about it. What I mean is that, that's not pride, that's humility. I was humbly stating the will of God. That if God does not stimulate your heart to marry this nigger, forget it. No matter how hard I try, are you getting my point? It won't work. And that's how preaching the gospel is. So I told her my job is simple. I will let you know how I talk, how I think, where I'm going, at least where I think I'm going, even in my confused state, all right? Whatever it is, this is how I am, this is where I'm coming from. I even went as far as describing the kind of place I was living in Lagos for her to know. In fact, one day she told me that my problem is that I talk too much. You see, my sister, look, I'm just doing what God said we should do. Paul should plant. In this case, he should water also. Then may God give the increase by you agreeing. Are you following? I'm calling this so that you understand what I'm saying properly. Are you getting my point? That is, you can never. What you just do is that you sow your seed properly. And what is your seed as a young man? You present your manifesto. All right? This is where I'm going in life. This is the kind of person I am. This is what I believe. This is what I don't believe. Having considered the whole of God's dealings with me, I've decided that Ibila, I say, now you, the Lord, wants to marry me. And I pray that you will agree with me. If you buy rose and kneel down, just not seeing a home movie. Nothing bad with that one. You understand? You are just trying to... Do you get what I'm saying? It's good. If you can do it, I'm not saying don't do it, or do it. Amen? But you know that place is just so that... You can tell the story later. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife, they vexed because I didn't do that. Now, let's get back. You know, once you get to this marriage matter, the antenna, you see antenna all over the place. Shoot, shoot. Pastor won't be able to leave that side alone. I'm leaving it. Amen. Let's get back to preaching the gospel. This is what I'm making, all right? And that's it. That's the way it is, all right? Again, with preaching the gospel, you can never beg somebody into the kingdom of God. It's not possible. You can't. What you do, and that's what we're discussing, we have discussed it for some time now, right? We just want to summarize everything today. What we do is that we properly represent Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? We do that. There's a reason why I read this scripture. All right, we'll see it in a moment. When we have properly represented him, we are properly testified for him, we are properly expressed his words to people, the rest is left with the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't count. You know, people have said it. You say, when you are getting to heaven, you hold, my Lord, these are the souls I want for you. That is not true. It was used to stimulate evangelism. But when you get to the front of the Lord, that you can't hold any soul on the left or on the right. Say, these are the ones I want. You know why? I'll tell you something. Paul said that, so you believe. He said, Paul, look at the way he said it. That 1 Corinthians. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just quickly read it. He said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? He says, servants through whom you believe as God gave each person the opportunity. Are you getting what I'm saying? He now said that you didn't believe because of them. You believe because God gave the increase. Are you getting my point? This is what happens. The number of people who believe through Paul does not know. So you can't grab your converts before the throne and say, Lord, these are my converts. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. You can't. You can't. Because it is not your doing that a person was converted. Many of the people who believe the word of God through my teaching, you know, I don't know them. Please, I hope you have understood what I'm saying. I don't. People come in here and they go. People hear us on radio. They take tracks. They read. They take books. They read. I can't take credit for any one of it. The only thing I can, in quote, you really can't take credit for anything, but let's just assume we're taking credit. The only thing I can take credit for is that I stood up and I spoke. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the only thing. The only thing I can take credit for, in quotes, now, God, please, I'm not taking the credit. I'm just trying to explain to your people, I beg, not vex, all right? Sorry, you get what I'm trying to explain, all right? You know, you can't take credit for anything. Because that's the truth. Even the spirit with which you understood the thing is the gift of God. The energy with which you lifted your hand and began to write is the gift of God. The understanding is the gift of God. So where is credit starting from? So that's what I'm just explaining to that to the Lord about, all right? So he knows anyway. I think it's because of you I'm actually saying it, all right? So the Lord is good. So what I'm saying is that even, all right, the spirit to write is his own. So but we want to talk about taking credit as an example. I can't do more than that. I only know I wrote. I only know I preached. All right? But the amount of increase, I don't know. Now, so why did we read that scripture? All right? Now let's get back to it. You know, there's a reason why I read that. Something happened a few days ago. I went to the office, and that would be on Friday, to go and, or Thursday, to go and give something to somebody. So as it was a kind of, you know, you enter a big office into which the other offices open. So I entered the big office, and a lot of people seated there just talking when I came in to see one of my seniors at work. So as I passed, greeted the people, and I passed through to go to the other office, I wanted to see somebody. One of the men in the outer office just said, just smiled. He said, I'm sure this is the only man, he was pointing to me, that does not know the kind of aroma he brought into this place. That is, perfume I was wearing. He said, I'm sure he's the only one. So he now said, hey, Pastor Banky, which one is that one? You know, we're just talking. He's a friend of mine. We were just chatting. I turned to him, I said, actually, do you know, really, and you know, it's a fact of life, all right? You actually can't smell it yourself. Once you've worn it a few times, your nose is used to it, you put on your perfume, you think it's not working. All right? Actually, that was the way he said it. As I walked in, I just greeted them and passed to the office I was going. I now pointed and said, I'm sure this is the only man that does not know the kind, that cannot smell this perfume he's wearing. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't smell it. But my presence brought the aroma of the perfume I was wearing into that place. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. All right? And I'm sure you are not surprised I wear perfume because, you know, if you're coming from the holiness movement those days, what? The things of the world. Of course, you know it's not the things of the world. It's the things of Mary and Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. All right, the Lord is good. All right, so this is what I'm just making. When the man said it, something, when I remember that comment later, something struck me. And I remember this scripture. That's why I opened to it. That Paul said, this is how it works. That as Christians, all right, God through us manifests his aroma everywhere that we go. But as a matter of fact, all right, thinking about what my friend said, you are not even likely to realize that he's doing that unless somebody passes that comment. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying. I want to explain something to us today. That's why I want to finish this whole teaching, all right, on this particular matter. This is how Christianity, you know, I've been saying this to us again and again. I said, Francis Waluke said something in the place where I was, and he was teaching. He said, those that do the things that count, don't stop to count them. Most of the work that we really do for God, we don't even know when we are doing them. That is the effects that we are getting for him. You can preach to some people and preach from now to tomorrow. Are you getting me? And nobody believes. But somebody else that you were not preaching to believes, but you think you've gone to heaven without any soul in your hand. You know the way we should talk about it. And that's why I want to emphasize something to us again today, all right, which I've said again and again. That scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, all right, verse 6. Let's quickly, let me just read it to you. Don't bother opening your Bible to it, all right? If you want, you can write it down. I quote this all the time. He said, sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You know, I quote that scripture a lot. We make this mistake all the time in Christianity. I know, I'm sure most of us who've been coming here, listening to my teachings, I believe you don't make that mistake anymore. All right? Christians like, and when we talked about the fasted life a few weeks ago, I tried to correct it. Christians like to target something, you know, like you sow a seed towards your car. You know, I've told you, I hope you don't do it. I'm sure you have stopped doing it. In Jesus' name, you have stopped doing it. I don't care who's preaching it to you. He says it's a matter of seed faith. It is not seed faith. It is seed unbelief. I hope you get what I'm saying. All right? It's not seed faith. Please, I'm serious. I want to clarify that. It is not possible for you to take money and say, God, this one is an offering towards towards myself. It's not allowed in Christianity. We've been doing it a lot in Christianity, but it's a mistake. Please, I'm begging you, it's a mistake. So that in case somebody is hearing this for the first time, let me explain. How do you sow seeds like that, money seed? Let us assume now, you love me so much, all right? And you want to be a blessing to me. And what you really, and you know, let us assume, all right? That I need maybe 2 million naira to do something. And it comes to your hearing. And you say, ah, my dear Pastor Banky. Lord, I wish I had 2 million naira for him. But you know I don't. So, you go and take the one you have. Say, Lord, this is only 200 naira. It is my seed towards the 2 million naira he's looking for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? You can do that. You can, maybe you are in your church as an example, and your pastor has explained that, look, these are the projects this church needs, all right? It needs to accomplish. And the total amount of money is 10 million naira. Hey! You look, this church you love so much. You believe what this man of God is leading everybody to do is right. You want, it's really the work of God. You guys are doing the propagation of the true word of God, and you want to be a part of it. Except that after you have sold your trouser, sold your shoes, and sold your shirt, all it comes to is 1,000 naira. As you present the 1,000 naira, you tell the Lord, this is my seed towards that project. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what we do, and this is what is wrong. Listen, when I need a car, I take money and say, this is a seed towards my car. Listen to me, it is not of God. It's a matter of misunderstanding. I'm not going to teach about it now. We'll talk about it. I just want those who are hearing for the first time to hear it. What, pastor, will I do when I need a car? If you need something, ask. James said, you ask not. Sorry, you have not because you ask not, not because you sow a seed towards it, not. And you know, I say it like that because it's so common in Christianity. Good men teach it, but it's not right. They say, oh, sow this seed. This is towards your wedding. Sow this seed. It's towards your admission. No. We get things from God on the basis of grace and mercy. And that is activated by what? Requesting. Please. If you don't hear it after now, I can't help you again. I've said it enough. Because you're wasting your time. Your faith is being eroded. Because you give until you're broke and you get nothing. I need to emphasize it. That's the end of that, all right? Christians make that mistake a lot. And I preach a message again. Please go and get the CD and listen to it. The key, all right? The switch of God's power. I said it is a continual doing of good work. Solomon said it there. Sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't stop sowing your seed. You don't know which one will prosper. Please hear it. Now let me quickly make this statement again. Though I've made it a million times. Whatever you do as a Christian must be done because it is right. No personal motives attached. Let me say it again. Whatever you do as a Christian must be done because it's right, not because you have a personal motive you're attaching to it. You know, one day, your husband and I were talking. Okay, and you know, he asked me a question. You know, we all read books and you know, I mean, business books, you know, stuff like that. That he and I were discussing, what is the relationship between that and the word of God? Because if you don't balance these things well, we make a mistake. A man comes, all right, maybe you hear Pastor Banky or Pastor Banky himself comes and say, those things are not the things that guarantee success. Are you getting my point? So another man hearing that and believing that, say, me, I don't read books. I don't read those business books. Who has time for them? They are not the keys to success. And you're not wrong. They are not the keys to success. Many men read them, practiced everything inside, and failure was their portion. They failed from the beginning, continued to fail. The day they realized they had failed thoroughly was when they died in the failure. And they read all the books. You will see, in fact, I remember the one book I read then, How to Be Rich by Paul Getty, then the richest man in the world. Imagine Bill Gates writing a book now, titled How to Be Rich, or Warren Buffett writing a book on how to be rich. The natural human reason is that you should read it. And somebody passed a comment at the back of the book, you know, and said, many men have written books on how to make money who have made none at all. He said, if any man has anything to say about making money, it's Paul Getty. What he was saying, in effect, is read the book is the key to making money. And I say, it's a lie. Because many men did what Paul Getty did and they failed. And but they unfortunately failures don't write books, so you couldn't read their book on the principle of failure. You have what I'm saying? So what I said is simple. So why do we read such books? I'll tell you, it's simple. Learn what is right to do as a businessman. Simple. Why should you read a book written by a Harvard professor on business? Not because it's the key to success, but because he has something to teach on what is right. On what is what? Right to do as a businessman. Success is a gift of God. You hear what I said? Success is what? A gift of God. But why do I read things like that? I read them because therein I will learn what is right to do. Do you follow my point? For example, you're a businessman, you're a businesswoman. You should get a book on bookkeeping, on accounting, on small business accounting, stuff like that. Read it so that you know how to handle your money. If there's a book on how to advertise, it is right to advertise. So read what they have to say. With a background of the knowledge of the righteousness that the scriptures teach, you are able to learn some things. You get the principle? But there's no guarantee of success in it. If you like, read 1 million. It doesn't guarantee you will succeed. But a man who's on his way to success, a woman who God has prophesied success into his or her life, or into her life, then she will read those things, use them, and succeed therein. People say, this is how you succeed. Read 17,000 books. Bros, wait. If you put your faith in 17,000 books, you will fail 17,000 times. Please, I digress a bit. You know, it's good to digress. We'll learn all these things, okay? I'm sure I've answered one or two questions for some people now, all right? Good, all right. So, why am I saying this? So, Christians make that mistake. I told the story before once I went for a couples meeting. And people were talking about how to net your husband and do this. You wake up, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that. That day I told my wife I wouldn't talk because it was December period. I was supposed to be on leave, not preaching. Then one person I asked, what if you have done all of those things? Your husband still doesn't budge. Then counsel were coming up. You know, people were saying, and you see, under such circumstances, what you do, after I told my wife, listen, I'm sorry, I can't keep quiet. I put up my hand, though I was on ministry leave. I said, I must talk, I beg. I said, this is the problem. That's where hope that is deferred always makes our heart faint. You are doing something with a hope, expectation attached to it. And when it doesn't produce the result, it faints. Your heart begins to faint. So I said to them simply, women, listen to me. You don't do those things to your husband because you are trying to get something. You do those things because they are right. Whether he gives you anything or not is besides the point. He said, you wake up in the morning, you greet him very nicely. You smile for him. You hug him. You kiss his cheek when he's going to work. You straighten his tie. I said, now, my dear sisters, now that we all agreed it is good, let's start doing it. Did you get my point? At least now you have acknowledged that it is good. Why must it be that when you want to persuade him to buy you that new gold or allow you and your children to go on holiday, though he has refused, why is it that it's that time you want to do it? You know, like Jesus would say, you become, all right, a witness against yourself. That, and Paul said it, that you know what is right. Yet, you don't do it. Because, hey, God, I never knew you were supposed to. They say, hey, wait, God said, hey, but I was there that day when you used it to try and get gold out of him. Do you get what I'm saying? All right, please. I'm trying to explain that thing again. We taught that during the Fasted Life Matter, all right? That, listen, as Christians, we continually do what is right. We don't attach, all right, a result to it. Now, let's get back to the matter of witnessing for Christ Jesus. That's why I brought up this matter. This is how it works also. We have explained a principle of being a witness. Therefore, what do we do? We are witnesses continually. Not, listen to me, not because you want to convert one person. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? But you are a witness continually. That's why, you see, I don't expect any true Christian, especially one who he and I have interacted with the word of God, to behave well in church. Especially. Do you get my point? Like I say, if you say, oh, I'm going to church, I can't wear this, so can't you see my breast is showing? Simple. Don't wear it to class.
It's simple. Do you get my point? It doesn't have to be church. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, if you know what is right,